right, I saw this op-ed in the Chronicle Herald recently. Nuclear weapons, climate change, both great threats, say activists. Renewable proponents say nuclear energy is not necessarily the savior it makes itself out to be. Joining us to discuss this is Gordon Edwards, president of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility. Gordon, thanks for joining the show.
My pleasure, Todd. Glad to hear you.
All right. Tell us more about the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility.
Well, we were founded back around the time when India exploded its first atomic bomb in 1974 using plutonium produced in a Canadian reactor that was given as a gift to them by the Canadian government. And it sort of dramatized the danger of spreading nuclear technology around the world, making it much easier for other countries, in fact, making it possible for other countries to develop their own nuclear weapons if they wish to do so.
All right, so tell us, I guess, kind of the broad strokes of what you wrote about, and then we'll drill down into some of the details.
Yeah, well, here in Canada, we have nuclear reactors that use natural uranium that comes right out of the ground. You can't use that stuff for bombs. It has to be highly enriched before you can do that. We don't even have an enrichment plant in Canada. And in fact, they have very few enrichment plants in the world because it's very sensitive technology. Anybody with an enrichment plant could make bombs. Now, however, in the spent fuel, the used fuel that comes out of the nuclear reactor, there's a new material that you don't find in nature called plutonium. It's human-made material. And that material is really perfect for making bombs. And it turns out that all plutonium can be used for bomb making. So the difficulty about getting the plutonium is how do you get it out of the irradiated fuel, which is so radioactive that it would kill any human being in a very short time by just being close to it. So the difficulty in New Brunswick is that they want to build a reactor that will start off by doing exactly that, by extracting plutonium from the used fuel that we already have stored in New Brunswick. And once you extract that plutonium, it can be used for fuel for new reactors, but it could also be used for bombs. And that's the danger, because they want to spread these things around the world. They want to sell them overseas.
Okay, so are there are markets overseas, and who are the markets?
Well, actually, there aren't very good markets because nuclear power is so damned expensive. It's about four times as expensive as renewables, solar or wind. And it's also slow. It's four times slower than renewables to install. So consequently, they're trying to drum up business. They're trying to drum up markets for it. But the difficulty is that if they were successful and were able to sell these reactors around the world, it would give access to many countries to plutonium, which is the raw ingredient that you need to have to make atomic bombs. Now, because of the Ukrainian war and the threats that have happened there, you know, Ukraine used to have nuclear weapons and they gave them up. They gave them up in exchange for promises of border security. And now look what's happening. So other countries around the world are noticing this and they're saying, by golly, we should have our own nuclear weapons. And this technology, which is being hatched in New Brunswick, would in fact give them that opportunity.
Oh, so you say hatched in New Brunswick, this is for these modular reactors, is it?
Well, the point is these modular reactors don't exist. They're only kind of what you might call PowerPoint reactors. They're designs that have never been built. And so, but the one particular design that they want to build at the Pointe-le-Preau site in New Brunswick is what's called the Moltex reactor. And the first thing they do in order to get that reactor going is they've got to take thousands of used fuel bundles from the CANDU reactor and extract the plutonium and a few other elements from the fuel in order to use it as fuel for the new reactor. And it's that process of extracting plutonium that is so dangerous. It's so dangerous that back in the 70s, President Jimmy Carter banned this process of extracting plutonium. It's called reprocessing. And he banned it because he knew that it was going to be spreading the bomb around the world if you encourage it.
So it's never been done. Plutonium's never been used in this way, then?
It has been used by the nuclear weapon states that is, you know, France, Britain, Russia, and so on, and as well as North Korea and India, to make their atomic bombs, and Pakistan, mm-hmm. to make their atomic bombs, they do extract plutonium. The only country in the world right now that extracts plutonium without building bombs is Japan. But they're trying to get them to stop, and in fact, they're phasing it down because it's so bloody expensive. So they're actually perhaps backing out of the plutonium business. Why should Canada be going into this area, which is so controversial and so dangerous for the world, when we have far better alternatives available to us?
So if not a full-scale CANDU reactor, which I think nobody is suggesting they start building. I think when they're talking nuclear as part of the mix, it's these modular reactors. Yeah. The fuel is this plutonium. You can't just use traditional nuclear fuel. It's got to be plutonium. Is that correct?
No, it doesn't have to be plutonium, but this particular model, there's about 50 to 100 different models of small modular reactors. None of them have been built before. And none of them can use the natural uranium fuel that we use in the CANDU reactor. Mm-hmm. They either have to use much more highly enriched uranium than usual, or plutonium. And the only one in Canada that is slated to use plutonium as a fuel is the Moltec reactor. And that one it's so dangerous that 9 non-proliferation experts from the United States that served under 5 U.S. presidents have written 4 letters to Prime Minister Trudeau urging Canada not to finance these kind of projects which use in plutonium extraction, because they will be undermining many years of non-proliferation work done throughout the world to stop the spread of nuclear weapons.
All right, so the CANDU reactor that we're using now, that does not require the enrichment plant, is that correct?
That's correct. The CANDU reactor doesn't require... The two technologies which lead to bombs are uranium enrichment mm-hmm. and plutonium separation.
Right.
And neither one of these has been used in Canada, except during World War II and during the Cold War at Chalk River, Ontario. We actually produced plutonium and sold it to the U.S. military for the use in bombs. We did this in order to finance our own peaceful research project. But that stopped in 1965 when Prime Minister Pearson banned any further sales of nuclear materials for bombs. And now we seem to be going backwards.
All right, so back to the extraction of the to create the plutonium. You say it's extremely dangerous and volatile. Is that during the extraction process, or what part of the process is the most dangerous?
Well, the process itself is untried. It's untested. It's not even known, because Moltex has not spelled it out. They say it's proprietary information. Mm-hmm. But it's based upon a technique that's being used right now in Idaho at Argonne National Laboratories in the United States. It's a kind of a bath of molten salt, where they put the used fuel into this bath of molten salt, and they use electricity to separate the plutonium from the other elements. But the plutonium is only 0.42% of the total, so they're extracting less than 1% of the radioactive waste, and they're leaving behind 99% of the waste. And then when they use the plutonium as fuel, the plutonium atoms are going to split and produce even more high-level radioactive waste. So they're actually increasing the amount of radioactivity in the waste. The most dangerous part is the gases that are going to be given off. They'll be giving off radioactive gases into the atmosphere. And they'll also be putting these wastes, which are so deadly that they would kill a human being in a short time, they're putting them into a much more difficult physical form. It's much more difficult to contain this material and to solidify. You're going to have to resolidify it somehow. And when you resolidify it, it becomes a problem. Where do you put it? Mm-hmm. Where are you going to store it?
All right, so these modular reactors, the idea has been around since the 70s or whatever it is, have they not? But people have been talking about trying to build these and get them to scale and into the marketplace for decades, have they not?
Well, you know, small modular reactors is kind of a slogan. It's not really well defined. But these are reactors which are a little smaller than normal, but they're by no means small. They're really quite large. For example, in Ontario, they're going to build what they call a small modular reactor. But guess what? It goes 14 stories underground and 14 stories above ground. So that's not a very small reactor, you know. They call it small simply because it's a little smaller than the CANDUs we now have. What they tried around the year 2001, they tried to get the nuclear industry on track again. One thing that people maybe don't know is that there's been a kind of a plateau. There's been a flat line for nuclear growth for the last 25 years. In fact, the contribution of nuclear power to global electricity has gone down from 17% of global electricity 25 years ago to about 9% today. So it's going down, and it's going to continue to go down. What they've been trying to do is revitalize, for commercial reasons and for profitable reasons, they want to revitalize the nuclear industry, but they're taking a beating from wind and solar, which are so much cheaper and so much faster. The International Energy Agency has predicted that in the next 5 years, 90% worldwide of all the electricity installation, the new electricity installation worldwide, is going to be either wind or solar. So wind and solar is growing rapidly, and the price is going down instead of going up. The price of nuclear keeps going up. The price of renewables keeps going down. This poses a real problem for the nuclear industry. So they are trying to get the federal government and the provincial governments to pony up millions and millions of dollars. Already they've given over $1.5 billion in support of these small modular reactors, rather than investing in much faster and much cheaper alternatives.
Very interesting chat, Gordon. I appreciate your time. Thanks for making this clear, because it's obviously quite a complex issue, but I certainly feel as though I've got a better grasp on it now. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, I'd be glad to do it again anytime. Thank you.
Okay, take care. Gordon Edwards, president of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility. Another op-ed in the Chronicle Herald this week, Lobster Tails and Fish Tails, Canada's foreign worker program, offers opportunities for workers and the industry. That when we come back.
Todd.
We'll be giving away tickets near the end of the show when we're talking with Cecil to the Mooseheads game on Wednesday night.